It's Tuesday, 4th of February. Time to get your grin on with the Grincast. Here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm host Ace, and joining me are Psychopathic.
Hey.
And Velt.
Hello.
Welcome. I'll skip the preamble. What's everyone been playing this past week? We'll start from the bottom this time. Velt.
Oh, no, you've started with me. Ah, no. What's going on? What have I been playing this week? Honestly, sort of just not an awful lot. I've been playing the regular Fire Emblem Heroes and Dissidia, Opera Omnia, Final Fantasy, whatever way around it is. Because I got to spend all my time wasting away on mobile guff, as it were. Played a bit more Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, a bit more Magic the Gathering Arena, and it was at the university that I live at. It was a special Japanese Bunkasai Day, which I don't know what that means, but it was a little event going on, so I ended up playing some of the Hatsune Miku games, or one of them anyway, that was there, which was fun.
Well, she had a concert the other week, so it was... No surprise that they'd have at least one of their games available at a Japanese style event.
Yeah, it was just sort of in the corner. They had that and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I think the Esports Society was being told to put something on. I play Smash Bros. Ultimate quite a lot, but I'd never really played any of the Hatsune Miku games, but they're just sort of rhythm action, like rhythm games, you know.
Left, A, 7. 7?
Yeah. 7, yeah. 7's a good controller. I like 7. Yeah, no,
I don't get on with rhythm games.
Oh, really?
I don't think I have any rhythm.
I love rhythm games. They're one of, like when I was growing up anyway, they were easily one of my favorite types of games. You still have games like Parappa and... like Guitar Man, so it kind of is in my wheelhouse a little bit.
I wanted to like them, like as you say, Parappa the Rapper, but I just can't get on with them.
No, oh, that's a shame. I mean, we went to I think it was not last year, but the year before that. Me and a few friends went to Arcade Club in Bury, and it's a massive building of like arcade cabinets and stuff like that. But on one floor, they've just got like all rhythm action games. And it's insane. We spent so long just on the crazy Japanese arcade machines that have lots of music that you probably have never heard of on there. A couple of things that you probably have heard of. But they're all really interesting ways to sort of play rhythm games as well. I genuinely enjoy it. I enjoy a good rhythm game.
And I take it that's it?
Yeah, I haven't been playing too much this week.
Okay. Psychopathic, what about you?
Same as last time I was on. I've been still playing Dragon Age Origins. I'm nearing the 200 hours mark on that game now.
Crikey.
200? Yeah, and I'm still not actually... I finished the base game. I'm just working my way through the DLC now. So it's taken a long time to get through.
Sorry, did you say you were playing two stories at once?
Yes.
That might be why you've reached 200.
Yeah, that could explain it. Yeah, but even from the in-game stats, the amount of hours on one of the save files is 75 hours total, and that's before the DLC. So it's a bloody big game. I didn't realize how big it was getting into it, and I think it's one of the reasons, especially growing up, I never really got into RPGs is because they're very extensive, and Dragon Age does not pull any punches when it comes to the in-game lore building and stuff. So having had the game so long, I think that's why I didn't really get into it when I first got it. But having grown up now and actually now can actually process a full proper game, it's bloody amazing, honestly.
I think as a kid, I strayed more to RPGs because of the length. I played so many long games when I was a teenager that I just didn't. I probably just spent too much time not even moving and watching television, going, yes, video games.
I just didn't have the attention span for them, especially when I was younger. I could only kind of do easy to digest stuff.
I wanted to get as many game hours out of my money as possible. So, yeah, I also gravitated towards Final Fantasy, Vagrant Story, etc.
Yeah, I also wanted to get as many hours out of my parents' money as possible. Yeah, no, I definitely as a teenager, like, I think that's why I sort of love Japanese RPGs and stuff as well, because as a kid I was playing loads of those sort of things. PS2 era was my sort of teenage years, and like that console is ridiculous for long Japanese role-playing games of quality.
I've also been playing, I played Counter-Strike Global Offensive with the Destiny Game Green crew on Friday. Just trying to remember what day it was. And also, whilst I was back home, I had a try on the VR and had a try of several games, including Pavlov, which is being called a kind of a Counter-Strike style game on VR, which that was quite fun, if not very motion sickness inducing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I did have to take a break from that after about half an hour. Because Rash has the Oculus Quest now. So every time I'm down there, I always make sure I get a go on that. And it is a lot of fun, but you have to take breaks if you're playing a game where you're moving about. Because I played Beat Saber. It was so fun. Very physically exerting, but that was one I could go for about an hour before I just had to stop just because I was just overheating. Because thankfully you're not physically moving, but the other games where you are, I had to take a break after a while because I couldn't. I was losing it. Other than that, yeah, it's basically Dragon Age, Counter-Strike, and various VR titles.
Ooh. Okay. I've played a number of games, a couple of mobile, American Dad, Apocalypse Soon.
Did you manage to play that?
Gotten into, yes.
Writing a story about that. How is it?
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's kind of good, but there's so many adverts. I say that they're optional adverts, like skips or reclaim your items if you fail a mission. You basically the Earth has been invaded by aliens. No, not Rogers' species. If you're familiar with the show.
Bad aliens instead of weirdly sexual ones.
So you have to send a clone army of Rogers to fight enemies and get the... Well, I've gotten Francine and Steve back. I'm now... Actually, I might have reclaimed Haley. Can't remember. It's been a couple of days since I've done missions. I've just been logging into to like collect money and upgrade the house and set things off. I've also been doing The Simpsons Tapped Out. I played that for quite a while, a number of years ago, and then the free donuts mod that I was using got taken offline, so I stopped playing. I started playing that just as the most recent event ended, so I didn't have time to really get into that.
I didn't know they were still updating it and adding stuff to that game.
Yeah, that's the surprise, yeah.
It's bloody old now, isn't it? It's been, like, what, 7-8 years now?
Oh, at least. Yeah. The thing is, my Origin accounts is not the same as my Simpsons Tapped Out account. I don't know how to get the two like merged. So I have no friends on the Simpsons Tapped Out, but I have friends on Origin. I'm waiting for the Valentine's Day event to start, which, well, it's coming up to Valentine's Day in 10 days, so it should be starting the weekend, maybe.
Oh yeah, Valentine's events coming up, aren't they? And they just announced one for Fire Emblem Heroes as well. They're doing some from the recent 3DS game, Fire Emblem Shadows of Valentia Echoes, and they've got like characters, and it's not all sort of love. There's a paternal love. There's a dad on there as well. Dad loves for his son.
Dad love sounds like a genre.
Yeah, not like that kind of thing, but like a platonic kind of love.
I haven't really been playing as Elaine. I gave up on the event because it's so repetitive. I mean, it's a mobile game. There's a lot of repetitive stuff in there, but this is super repetitive.
How are you going to help? What's your excuse for your waifu boat? It's almost Valentine's Day. You can't be treating her like this.
I have four waifu boats. I don't care anymore. speaking of four, Dead or Alive Extreme Venus Vacation. Still playing that. I've got about 9, almost 10 hours in this or that. I now have 4 volleyball players. Yay. It took me forever to unlock the third. Oh, a team is 2.
Oh, okay.
But if you get a third, you can then send one of them on training while you're doing the volleyball or, you know, taking pictures and perving the usual.
Hmm.
And not long after unlocking the third, I unlocked a fourth. So I can send 2 of them on training. So
that sounds really exciting, riveting gameplay.
The 2 events that they had running, one of them ended today, the other's ending. They've got a maintenance warning. They'll be taking the game servers offline 5 a.m. until like 9 a.m. our time. So tomorrow morning I can see the new event. Yay. And see what excuses they give to have even smaller swimsuits.
Is that? I assume that's how it goes, yeah. Just, this time it's string.
Well, last time it was, hey, there's blah, blah, blah. Ooh, something about sushi. Hey, I have an idea. Fade out, fade back
sushi
in.
Swims.
Oh, why are you making me wear this, owner? Owner being the player character.
Wait, they call you owner?
Yes.
Oh, what?
Oh, no.
You're the owner of this other island, not the girl.
Oh. Oh, Jesus.
God.
This game gets worse and worse every week.
Every week, yes. So let's move on. Another event game that I played, Ghost Recon Breakpoint. They have had a Terminator event running. So I played through the 2 missions that were involved in that, uploaded the gameplay of that to the Game Green YouTube channel, which you can check out. It would have been close to 2 hours, but there were 2 sections of me just driving from point A to point B, so I sped that up to 500%. So it's quite funny. The sound gets distorted and everything.
Did you put the Benny Hill theme on there as well?
No, that would have resulted in the game if they get footage being
taken. Copyright strikes.
A bit of Yakuza 0. I did mention that I'm terrible at rhythm games, and Yakuza 0 bears that out.
You've been playing karaoke?
Yeah, karaoke. Rather than just being one line and then refreshing with new notes, it reaches the end of the line, and then the next line is above it, near the top of the screen, and then it goes down the screen, back to the top.
Yeah.
And it's really off-putting, and I don't like it. I'm bad at rhythm games. And the final game, so we can get on with the podcast, Dauntless, the new Hunt Pass launched recently. This past week, and they're calling it Aetherpunk or Aetherpunk.
Aetherpunk?
Yeah, it's basically neon and spikes, and people have taken inspiration from the distant past.
What? and in the distant past, we had neon spikes, yes.
In the distant past, it was like the future, circa 1980s.
Yes. Okay.
I'll be honest, I love how it looks. Big fan of neon.
I'll have to take a look at Aetherpunk at one point in time or not.
One of the new arrival animations is you arrive on a hoverboard.
No. They did that. They went there.
Yeah, and you can get a new helmet that's basically a visor across your eyes. It's awesome. However, it's completely broken. Or it was when it first came out.
What do you mean broken? In what way?
Because when you join a match, it takes you into a lobby. And while you're in the lobby, you can adjust your equipment.
Mm.
You have two or three or four loadouts, depending on what Slayer level you're at. If while you are in the lobby, you swap, or this is what happened originally, when you swapped to a different loadout, it would remove your health potions. These health potions, you cannot remove yourself. You can take four items into a battle, into a hunt, and the health potions must be one of them.
Right.
So this new update, if you change loadout, it removes your health potions.
That doesn't sound good.
That's not that.
No, not at all. And also, in the lobby, it tells you some information about the behemoth you're about to fight, like specifically what type it is and whether your current equipment is going to be good or bad against it. It seems to be random, but for instance, if I go to fight a fire behemoth, it would say, this is a terror, an earth behemoth. Your equipment is going to do this amount of damage and protect you like this. It's like, no, because I'm wearing stuff that's strong against fire. What are you on about, game?
Oh dear. That doesn't seem like it's gone down very well, then.
Yeah, I don't know if they've patched that. I hope they have, because it's getting on for like a week of being broken. But yeah, I'm still having fun with it.
Hmm. At least you're having fun. That's the main thing.
Speaking of people having fun with the game, makers of Plague Inc. Endemic have asked players, please don't use our game for coronavirus modeling. Of course, you know what the coronavirus is. It's a quite virulent disease that's originated in China. It's killed upwards of 300 people so far, throughout January and the start of February. So, yes, that's terrible, but we're talking about Plague Inc., a game where you design a disease which is trying to wipe out the earth.
Wait, so are they saying don't in the game, so don't create the coronavirus?
So Endemic have said that due to very high player numbers, they've had to take their website offline temporarily.
Mm.
Well, basically, whenever there's a outbreak of some sort, such as the coronavirus, their servers tend to spin up because people go into the game and try to create the latest. Well, in 2014, there was an Ebola outbreak, and their numbers went up because people are trying to find out how the disease is spreading. And well, the game is quote unquote realistic. It's, however, game realistic. So although the your version of the coronavirus will wipe out the earth in 8 days, that's not how real viruses work.
I mean, if it was, if it was going to, and it's too late now, we're already done.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Why are they so opposed to it? Because their website goes down, or because it's kind of making light of a serious situation?
Well, their servers for multiplayer and custom scenarios are struggling to cope with very high player numbers. So it's kind of bad for them because they've got an increased server cost.
They've got to do work. It's good for them. It's like, please don't play our game. It's good for them, I guess, in the long run, right? They get, every time a new disease hits, it's really good for them because people go, oh, now I can play the game where I make that disease, and then they get revenue, I guess. I don't know.
Conspiracy, they're creating the diseases.
Oh, that must be it. That must be it.
I think they're more worried that people are going to spread panic, saying, "Oh, that my version wiped out the Earth in X amount of days. That means that we are doomed."
When... I can see non-specific news outlets doing this. just sort of going, "Oh, I played a game, or there is a game online where you can make the coronavirus and it kills everyone in 3 days."
Yeah.
And then that will be printed on the front page of a UK newspaper, probably.
Coronavirus wipes out there in 3 days.
Yeah. And then everyone panics and buys, I don't know, bread and milk, because that's what everyone buys when they panic buy, right?
I think that's what I've seen people panic buy. I'd go straight to the tinned stuff.
I'd buy chicken wings, personally.
Chicken wings. Hey, it's Tuesday. You can go get them from another a brand that I won't mention for cheaply today.
I'm curious now. I haven't heard of cheap chicken wings.
No, it's a sort of... So I get an advert now on Twitter because I liked a post by a certain chicken company, the major chicken brand, and that one. This is my media training here. I'm not allowed to mention specific organizations. Are we allowed to mention organizations here?
I mean, we talk about specific games companies.
I mean, in terms of because I guess it's advertising, isn't it? I don't know.
Right. Well,
either way.
Get your chicken wings at KFC or Chicken Cottage or your local takeaway.
But on Tuesdays, KFC has a specific thing where they give you 9 for £6.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
All right, guys, I gotta go.
I'm gonna pause the recording there.
Yeah, there we go. It's 9 pieces for £6, which is madness, right?
Something else that's madness. Ghosts versus Terminators.
Wait, that segue means that we're going to keep this KFC thing in the...
Yeah. Pay us, KFC, or we'll talk about you every week.
Yeah, we could have a KFC sponsorship, right?
Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint has started a live event running until, from the 29th of January until the 6th of February, with some content based on The Terminator. James Cameron's 1984 movie.
Because there's been loads of Terminator crossover events recently, haven't there? So I remember seeing some, but I don't remember what they were for. Was he in like a fighting game recently as well?
That rings a bell. Yeah, I imagine this is because the Dark Fate is coming to video on demand, and
there's a Gears of War one as well. Is in there's a Dark Fate Gears 5 crossover DLC. That's interesting. Well, I don't know. It seems to be getting about a bit.
There's been no Terminator game. Oh wait, yeah, there was.
Yeah, there was. Yeah,
it didn't review highly.
Wasn't that not bad? I thought I was not bad. I saw a review.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't Stella, it was.
For Terminator standards, it's pretty good, right?
The last Terminator game I played was an on-rail shooter, so it was better than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about it. I've just seen some videos out there saying it's surprisingly not bad, surprisingly decent. Maybe it's worth looking at. I don't know.
Perhaps, but this, I mentioned it earlier, I played through the two missions that are available. There's also daily challenges. Anyway, these two story missions see you fighting off an army of T-800s, and there's also the daily interception missions. The two missions were pretty good. You go and rescue this woman from the future, who was sent back to stop Skynet. Well, she was sent back to give you a weapon to help you stop Skynet. And then you... I don't want to spoil it too much, but you can... if you're curious, you can watch that video on our YouTube channel. And, yeah, it's pretty good. The T-800s are quite difficult to take down.
Are they the Arnold Schwarzenegger one?
They kind of look like a Bald Arnie, yes.
Oh, okay. Because I don't know, because I know that, like, there's specific, I don't know much about Terminator. I know that there's specific models and stuff like that. There's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then there's the dude who turns into liquid for a bit, and then there's the female one. Which one?
The T-1000 is the liquid metal. The T-800 is the mass-produced, the Terminator that you'll be familiar with. I think there was a T-500, maybe? I don't know. Yes, it's weird that he's bald, but I suppose that might tied into Dark Fate. I haven't seen it.
In this one, Terminator gets a haircut.
It's kind of weird because there's like a main T-800 that was sent back in time, and then there's mass-produced T-800s that you have to fight, but the main one is more difficult than the mass-produced ones. I suppose that makes sense because he's not mass-produced. Or it's because he's made from future technology rather than modern-day technology.
Aren't they all made from future technology, though?
Well, I suppose future materials more than technology. Mm-hmm. But speaking of the future, Star Trek Online is celebrating 10 years this month, or at least on PC. You have to wait until March for Xbox One on PlayStation 4. But they've introduced some new missions featuring 7 of 9 from Star Trek Voyager and Star Trek Picard, and Michael Burnham from Star Trek Discovery. The missions do contain spoilers for Star Trek Discovery Season 2, so bear that in mind if you have not watched that and want to, and still want to play this. Also worth noting, these missions are incredibly hard for no good reason. I thought it was just because I was underleveled and underpowered, but I spoke to someone who's played a lot of this game, and yeah, he was complaining, oh, yeah, just power through it. The ending's good. The ending's good.
Fair enough.
Yes, congratulations. 10 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, especially for a licensed MMO.
Absolutely. I mean, how long are we looking at? I mean, what's the next longest licensed MMO? Would it be the Star Wars one?
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't know how long the Old Republic has been going, to be fair.
There's not a Lord of the Rings one still, is there?
I didn't even know. No, I don't think so.
The Old Republic's been since late 2011, so not 10 years. Oh, okay. Although Galaxies was for a while, although obviously it's not running anymore, but...
Now we're going to have to Google some things.
Research time!
Yeah, Galaxies... Galaxies only ran for 8 years.
Still quite a while.
But yeah.
Well, I don't know what the regular lifespan for an MMO is. It tends to be you're either World of Warcraft or you're dead anyway. I know there are some exceptions, but I don't know.
I suppose it all depends on how strong your Asian audience is.
That's not fair for Final Fantasy XIV. That game does very well all the way around the world.
Yeah, now. But then there's things like, I wonder if FlyFF is still...
Black Desert Online that's the Korean one. My friend says that's incredibly grindy. It's gorgeous. You ever seen like Black Desert Online? It's absolutely beautiful, but like, yeah, apparently it's just really grindy and horrible.
I reviewed it for Game Grin, and yeah, it's incredibly grindy. I was doing other stuff and kept hitting the button that took you to the next waypoint. And then fight some things, and then hit the button again and do something else. FlyFF is a game that I played in the mid-2000s. It's been going since 2004. That's not a licensed one, but it is a Korean MMO, short for Fly for Fun.
Fly for Fun?
Yes, FlyFF. It was all right. I played it while I was in beta. It was in beta for like 10 years.
Wow. Fair enough.
Maybe not 10 years, but it was a long time.
So, yeah. I'm not sure about... I don't know. I guess there's some of this about, but yeah. So is the Star Trek one particularly big? I've not heard much about it, honestly. I wasn't even aware that it was a thing.
oh, big enough to get actors from the show to reprise their roles, I suppose.
That's very good. Is it like, are the classic actors come in, or is it like just the new ones?
Well, Leonard Nimoy did voice, well, quite a lot of voice work for it. He's basically the narrator. Or
that's nice.
He'll tell you about the sections of space, sectors of space, as you like discover them. Obviously, nice. Before he passed away.
Yeah.
They got Scotty's son to voice him in a Agents of Yesterday.
But no Shatner yet.
No Shatner, no. No Picard. They have Geordi.
I'd be surprised. Wolf. I'm surprised there's no Picard. He's usually up for that sort of stuff. You know, he does game stuff. Well, not a lot, but he does do game stuff. So he's definitely up for. Patrick Stewart's up for doing silly stuff sometimes, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose it might be a case of money.
Maybe, yeah. He might be too expensive.
Yeah.
Easy enough for him to be like 5 minutes in an Elder Scrolls game, but I imagine it's. Well, I don't know how much money this game is raking in, to be fair.
If they blew their budget on Spock. And then you've got Armin Shimerman, the actor of Quark, who does a ton of voice work. He's in Lego Supervillains as just background characters.
Ooh, that's a demotion, isn't it? Ooh, background characters in Lego superheroes and from Star Trek. I mean, it's funny because you talk about Leonard Nimoy. I've been watching people play Kingdom Hearts 3 because the new DLC's come out for that. I think last week. And his last actual role, I believe, was in Kingdom Hearts. Leonard Nimoy. He played the big bad guy for a little bit, and then he passed, and then they got someone to replace him, and that person has also passed away. And then they've got someone to replace him, so we're just hoping that this new actor manages to not die.
Goodness. It would have been hilarious if they got Frank Welker to replace Leonard Nimoy.
I'm not sure who it was.
Because in Transformers the movie, Leonard Nimoy voiced Galvatron, and then in the series, Frank Welker voiced Galvatron.
One of my favorite things, not to go on about Kingdom Hearts, but my favorite Kingdom Hearts game is Birth by Sleep, and the best thing about that game is Leonard Nimoy plays the main villain, and the main hero, not the main hero, but the big master of the main hero is played by Mark Hamill. So, and they get into a fight, so it's like Star Wars versus Star Trek in Kingdom Hearts. It's incredible.
That's great.
The replacement for Leonard Nimoy was Christopher Lloyd. That was it.
Oh my!
So it was Leonard Nimoy, then Christopher Lloyd. Yeah, that makes sense. And then Rutger Hauer. I don't know who that is. Although he's quite old as well, 75.
But something that isn't old, Daemon Ex Machina, has got a launch date. It's coming to Switch and. Turns out Steam on 13th
was
February.
Was it not already out on Switch? Is it not already out on Switch? I don't know.
Is it?
Come on. Daemon Ex Machina.
I might be misspeaking then. Oh.
Daemon Ex Machina.
Oh, Switch. Yes, it did. September.
Oh. Yeah, September. Yeah. I totally forgotten that game existed because it came out similar time to Astral Chain. And then I just sort of, when you brought it back up, I was like, oh, yeah, that game.
Daemon Ex Machina is coming to Steam on the 13th of February. And I totally remembered it coming out on Switch. I played the demo before it came out, and I wasn't too enamored with it.
I think it suffered a lot
about
from...
it since.
Yeah, I think it suffered a lot from as I said, having to compete with something like Astral Chain, which was very good. And maybe being on the Switch hurt it, I don't know. I remember when it kept coming up in Nintendo Directs, and everyone was a bit like, oh, there's that game that looks interesting, I guess. And then when it came out, it just stopped being in Nintendo Directs, and everyone, I guess, just forgot that it existed. Maybe it's one of those games that just does better when it doesn't release. It would be in conscious memory then.
There's that game where you can heavily customize your character. Oh, and there's also Astral Chain, where you can heavily customize your character. And they're both kind of action-y games.
Yeah, I know they're not like similar. They're not similar in the way that they play or the way that the game plays out, but they are similar, I guess, in art style, at the very least. But one's red and one's blue, I suppose.
Red versus blue.
Hey.
But something else that looks similar to something else, Warcraft 3 Reforged.
What do you mean?
Warcraft 3 Reforged has come out, and people haven't exactly been happy with it.
I'm not letting that go. So here's something else that looks like something else.
Yeah, Warcraft 3 Reforged looks like Warcraft 3. Except, by some accounts, not as good.
Wait, what? How does that work?
They've messed up the UI. According to some people. Basically, it's on Metacritic, it got middling reviews, but the user reviews.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, no, don't. No, yeah, user
it's,
reviews.
It's gone below one.
Oh, wow, okay.
And there's games that are obviously worse than Warcraft 3. Ride to Hell Retribution has a 16 Metascore. It has a 16 meta score, and their user scores are 1.3.
So how is that any points at all?
Reforged is below one. I don't know how that's possible.
Because you can mark things as zero on Metacritic. Because people give zeros and then 10, like lots of a game comes out and people user bomb it and they go, all right, this one's a zero, this one's a 10, and then they don't. This is why people dislike Metacritic, even though like I don't think it's fair to criticize Metacritic in terms of critic reviews. I think that genuinely is a good place to go for sort of averages. If you're looking at the user review, it's usually just it's a hovel.
Don't look at the comments, folks. The comments. Some of the problems are that Blizzard promised better cutscenes and showed off some at BlizzCon, and yet they've now removed any cutscenes that they put in because there are no animated cutscenes. It's all done in game engine in the normal isometric style view. There's numerous bugs, crashes, hang-ups, assets not loading, connection issues, login issues, and these issues are affecting the original game as well as Reforged.
Do you mean it's like the issues have now become prevalent on the old game, or were they existing issues that the
connectivity forward? Issues have now started to affect the original game.
What?
The ones that have been introduced with Reforged.
Oh, no. Okay.
Some basic features of the original are no longer in the remaster. This apparently includes automated tournaments, clans, profiles, competitive ladder. One interesting point is the new user agreement includes language that essentially copyrights all user-created custom games, giving Blizzard complete control over all user-generated content.
What?
Basically, they want to avoid another Dota 2 situation, because Dota started life as a... As a mod, I believe.
They've just decided to own everyone's creations now. What?
It's the user-created custom games. obviously the Warcraft 3 Reddits and Blizzard forums are utter war zones. People up in arms, white knights defending.
Wait, who's defending this?
There's always someone defending every bad decision.
I guess. I mean, not even just this, but like the game as a whole. Like the people sat there going, "No, this game is incredible. It's amazing. It's a." I don't know.
So Blizzard have seen these this utter vitriol exploding because of their new game, which people are saying had funding pulled quite far into release, and that's why they had to delay it twice. It was supposed to come out in August, I believe, and then December, or and that's only just come out. So presumably that was to remove the cutscenes they'd already implemented, maybe. They've basically come out saying we're sorry that you don't like it. Sorry. Their exact words are, first off, we want to say we're sorry to those of you who didn't have the experience you wanted. We'd like to share our plans for what's going to be next. Basically, they're going to fix all of the bad stuff and we've identified the bug causing colors and shading to look different from the original Warcraft 3. We're testing a fix. Why was this not noticed in QA, maybe?
Or how do you fuck up a remake?
If it was noticed and flagged, why did you not fix it?
How do you fuck up a remake this hard?
They think no one would notice.
Oh, no one's going to play. I suppose Blizzard are famous for having said, no, you don't want classic servers. You think you do, but you don't.
Doesn't everybody have a mobile phone in this day and age? Surely you could just play our Diablo game on that.
Oh God, not that again.
Yeah, that's kind of what prompted the main topic idea. What are Blizzard going to screw up next?
Overwatch.
Overwatch 2 is basically Overwatch 1.5.
I mean, it is anyway. That is what it is. It's just that, but with a story mode. And maybe an extra map, but...
And then there's, don't you all have mobile phones? And we're sorry you didn't have the experience that you wanted.
I'm sorry you didn't like our awful game that doesn't work very well. Your fault.
Have you tried liking it?
Have you tried liking this game instead? That might be more up your alley.
Oof. We may have overstepped by banning that guy who didn't want Hong Kong to be under the thumb of China.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? What have they got in the works? A couple of Diablo. Got
the mobile Diablo and the
Diablo Immortal.
Diablo 4.
Diablo 4. Yeah, that's it.
So people are very excited for Diablo 4, so that's going to go down in flames.
It will. Guaranteed. It will. I mean, the last Diablo game released to some kind of debacle anyway, didn't it? So they have that online auction thing that everyone was going crazy about when that first launched.
Yeah, I believe there was some sort of kickoff about over Diablo 3.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to find it now. I think it was definitely about the auction house, but then there's apparently it was in something in Korea as well. Oh, okay, yeah. So in 2012, Blizzard's entertainment offices in South Korea were raided by the Fair Trade Commission amid allegations the company had breached consumer rights laws, including suspected violations of Korea's law on electronic commerce and commercial contracts. Players in Korea requested refunds from Blizzard based on their inability to play Diablo 3. But Blizzard cited the terms of sale and refused to grant these requests. So I guess at that day, people couldn't even play Diablo 3. And Blizzard were like, no, we're not giving you money back. You've got the game. What do you want? I don't know. So it goes back to... And we were talking about Valve before and Half-Life. I as someone who is lucky, I'm very lucky to have not had any input in these companies whatsoever, because I never had a gaming PC or anything like that. So I never played a Blizzard game, and I never played a Valve game until I was much older and didn't have the investment. But for all these people who are just kind of like, I guess there are people who are really invested in the company, aren't there? You know?
Yeah, definitely. And there's people who have not stopped subscribing to World of Warcraft since it launched.
Yes, yeah, and those people, I mean, I end up having to sit through a BlizzCon once. I didn't understand what was going on until the Overwatch thing happened, and then I understood what was going on. I don't know. I can kind of understand in a way. I don't know. Konami, I guess, was as close as to me as sort of this travesty is, but even then, they're just more like workers' rights stuff instead of terrible games.
Well, let's finish on some positive notes. Franjaff had some technical difficulties. He wanted to come on and talk about the wonderful 101.
Wonderful game.
Kickstarter. That's the word. That launched and has gone into orbit. I personally am not familiar with the wonderful 101. That's why I didn't add it to the show notes, because I don't know enough to discuss it.
That's unfortunate. It's a good game. It's a very fun game. I played a preview at it before it launched at the Wii U event in it was EGX. It was Eurogamer Expo at the time, and really enjoyed the demo for that. Picked up the game and again really enjoyed it. I think it's a good fun game. Takes good advantage of the Wii U's unique features.
My issue is that a couple of weeks ago we mentioned that Platinum Games had just received a sizable investment from Tencent, and now they're going to Kickstarter for the Wonderful 101. It's obviously not for the full budget, but why you need money, bro?
Especially when I'd imagine like Nintendo finance something like that. Maybe they haven't, and they've said no, you need to do it. I've seen there's a tweet I hear from Jonathan Holmes, who works for Nintendo Power Magazine, and Destructoid. I think he still works for Destructoid. It says, looks like the Wonderful 101 Kickstarter backers' average pledge is about $70. That's more than buying the game and a Wii U used together. So the people who really want to see this game on the Switch are basically going a bit crazy for funding of the game at the moment.
I mean, it's not even a sequel, it's a remaster of a game that's still available on the Wii U.
Exactly. They just really want to see it on the Switch. I guess there's a lot of, I mean, Platinum, I love Platinum as well, and there's a lot of love for Platinum games, especially when there's good ones. This one also kind of a spiritual successor, I guess, to Beautiful Joe in some way. Not exactly, it's not a 2D fighter, but it has some sort of, I don't know. It's a good game. I would probably buy it again for Switch, but it's paying $70 per... Come on, guys.
Well, the last thing I wanted to bring up, it was announced only a few hours before we started recording. GeForce Now is out of closed beta and available for everyone. This is the streaming service that allows you to play your games on any device that's... you can download GeForce Now to your mobile, your laptop, your underpowered PC. Again, you do have to own the games because you got to associate them with your account. But yeah, if you've on the move and want to play some Destiny 2, then you can jump on for an hour. There's a free and a founders tier. Free is obviously free. You get standard access and 1 hour session length. You can reconnect after 1 hour, but it will interrupt your game, obviously.
What is this? So I'm sorry, I don't know much about what's GeForce. Is it a store or is it a...
GeForce is Nvidia's the graphics card company.
Right. So what games is it, what account is it that you can link to this GeForce thing?
Well, you sign up for a GeForce Now account, and you hook up. I assume there's some sort of Steam integration and maybe Epic Games, etc.
Hoping that it links up with something that you already have, essentially Steam or Epic or whatever. And then what, you can only play these games for an hour at a time before they close down on you.
Yes, and the founders is currently $4.99 a month for 12 months. That's probably going to change next year. That gives you priority access. So I'll come back to that. Extended session length, which is, it doesn't say it there, but it's extended to 6 hours.
What?
And then it disconnects you. You can use RTX, which is their fancy lighting model, which makes things all shiny and nice. Mm. And a free 90-day introductory period. So you get 3 months free. A month and a half. Oh, God. How do numbers work?
How number?
3 months.
Yeah, it's about 3 months. So it's a bit more, a bit less, depending on where we are.
That's why they started it in February, I suppose.
Yeah.
This priority access, it puts you in the queue ahead of free users. So if you're playing on a free account, you reach your hour, you get kicked off, and then you have to wait back in the queue.
You have to wait to play these games?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, because it's free.
What?
The GeForce Now is streaming games to your hardware, like your phone.
Mm.
So you have the best graphical experience.
Games that you own, I must stress.
Yes, games that you own, and you don't have to pay to play it. On your phone, at least.
But you can. You can optionally play. You can optionally play,
and then you get priority.
You can also only play it for an hour at a time. This is awful. Who would buy this? Who would jump on?
Lots of people.
Like, first of all, Destiny. Is it supported for every game? So I assume it's you just stream. Streaming again.
I'm sorry.
Is it just streaming a game, or is there like specific? I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's streaming a game. There's more than 1,000 games that are compatible.
So not every game, basically.
Not every game. No. Some examples are Saints Row 4, Kingdom Come Deliverance, Insurgency, Ride 3, Wolfenstein Youngblood. That also has RTX. Dauntless, Fortnite. So yeah, it hooks up to your Epic Game Store. account, Dead by Daylight.
So you can I guess if you've got an hour bus ride or train ride, assuming that your connection holds up, you could stream your game. You could stream something on your phone. Also, how do you play these games on your phone? Unless, I mean, you're gonna have to connect a controller. Yeah, you need a
Bluetooth controller. It's 60 frames a second. If you go for the founders, it's 4K, or that's something they're going to be introducing. As I say, it's only just been announced as launching to everyone, so I haven't looked into it totally.
I don't understand why there's a queue. Does that mean that you have to? Is it like server space sort of thing? So they only have a limited space, a limited amount of people can go on at a certain time.
I imagine so, because unless
you pay them for it,
yeah.
In which case, you can go first, I guess. Also, if it's busy as well, then you're just never gonna go, will you?
That's right. If your bus ride, your hour bus ride coincides with everyone using the service, then tough.
And you don't pay. Then you don't get priority access, and it's gone to 45 minutes, and you've sat there staring at your phone screen in a queue for 45 minutes. Like, why can't I play one round of Quake or whatever? Which may or may not even be supported. Oh, I don't know.
In their spiel, it says, in total, there are hundreds of games from more than 50 publishers that, once you own, are available for instant play. All these games are patched automatically in the cloud, so your library is always game ready.
Everybody has phones, right?
As I said, this is also available on Mac, PC.
I don't buy that. If it's available on your Mac or PC or whatever, then, I mean, surely you use that for playing the games anyway, right?
Well, it says here, your old laptop never gamed like this before. That Mac, which for years has seen fewer games published for it or lost compatibility, can now play the latest games. Your rig doesn't have to move before, from room to room.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It feels like it's a very niche product, but I don't know whether it is actually or not.
I think it's worth a look on the free version, at least.
If you get the chance to play for an hour.
I don't like spending. I don't like subscribing to monthly services. I'm cheap. I'm Northern. So I'll probably have a look via my phone because my PC can run all of the games that I want to play.
That's the point, though. I think, like, unless you're rich, you probably don't have anything just like any electronics just lying around that you play games on that can't play the games that you play on your PC already. Like, who has two PCs? Who has, like, I mean, I have a laptop. If you have a PC and a laptop, maybe. But in that case,
there's going to be people who have like 7-year-old PC or laptop, and they got a humble bundle and it came with a key for Kingdom Come Deliverance. They've got no way of playing that game. That needs something that's not 7 years old to play.
So, but then
now you can play it.
Then you could stream. Well, you could play it for an hour. Play this big long RPG for an hour. That would be so unsatisfying as well. Can you imagine sitting there playing Skyrim for 1 hour?
At least with Skyrim, you can save whenever you want. With Kingdom Come Deliverance, you need to sleep to save.
I don't know. It just seems really. I don't know. It doesn't seem like something I'd. I'm not the target audience for it. I have a phone that I can play games that are based on the phone on. I have a computer that I guess can play a couple of games. I have a console. It's, I don't know. I'm never a big fan of portable gaming. It's probably because I've had all my life I've had some kind of portable gaming console from the Game Boy onwards, so I probably have been spoiled in this sense that I don't need to, like, stream random consoles to stream random things every... I don't know. It's just...
We get it. You're rich.
I'm not rich. I'm not. I'm more northern. Hey, you're far more northern than you, innit?
And on that note, thank you for listening. Even bigger, thank you for subscribing via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our RSS feed. Thank you for joining me, Velt and Psychopathic. Yes. You can leave a review on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or post a cheeky comment on GameGrin.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch too. And while you're at it, game on.